Yeah, thank you very much. Okay, welcome everybody to today's Jig call on the 14th of June. On the call today, we have Edmund Chung, Rafiq Tamak, Avery Doria, Wei Zhao, and from staff, Bart Boswinkel, Dennis Jennings, and Christina Nordstrom. Apologies from Sarmar Hussein, Saad Bataine, and Jan Zhang. And may I please ask you to state your names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Edmund.
Thank you, and thank you everyone for joining the call. I again apologize for last week, last call, that we had to cancel in a short order. But anyway, so today I sent around a sort of a brief agenda with four items that I want to cover. First one being some preparations for our face-to-face session in Singapore. And then three other items that were sent around the mailing list in the last few weeks. The liaison or observer for the VIP study teams, the Variant Issues Project, and thank you, Dennis, for being on the call as well. Some clarifications, I guess it's a brief report from staff about moving forward on the single character IDNTLD implementation, and also some comments that Avery sent around in terms with regards to the ITF document that we talked about in our last call that well, 4 weeks ago, which the call, last call that happened. So I guess unless anybody wants to add or take away something, we'll move right to the first item. Okay, so I was I think we scheduled a time on Monday for the face-to-face meeting in Singapore. That would be next Monday. I was wondering what people had in mind. Had a brief chat with Jane and thought probably because we'll be spending the Saturday before with the VIP study teams. I think that will be one of the first meetings getting kick-started. So I think a follow-up discussion on what this group should do might be a good topic. And we brought up the issue of universal acceptance of IDN-TLDs. I thought since it's a face-to-face meeting, perhaps a good idea to get started on the stock-taking of the issues that this group should discuss on that particular topic. And, of course, depending on the third item on today's agenda, if any response on some further clarifications on single character IDNTLD implementation. So really covering all three issues of common interest that we identified for the Monday meeting with the variant issue leading off, and then if we have time for the other two items. So that's sort of what I have had in mind. I wonder if anyone have any ideas or thoughts or comments.
Edmund, this is Mike.
Yep.
One of the things I've been checking in preparation of the of the Singapore meeting, I've been checking the charters again of working groups, and there is one item regarding the JIG, and that's probably something that the JIG needs to consider, the GNSO Council and the CCNSO Council as well, that assuming the board will adopt the applicant guidebook in Singapore, if you look at the chart, that's one of the events that would close this working group.
Right.
So if this would happen on Monday, it's, I think both the CCNSO, GNSO, and the JIG need to reconsider if the working group needs to continue, maybe under an amended charter or something else.
Good point. I guess given the situation and some of the things that we do are continuing to do, I would venture to say that at least we'll keep the Monday meeting, and even if the AGP gets the applicant guidebook gets goes through, I think we should probably have the Monday meeting and add this to the agenda and further discuss with GNSO and CCNSO.
No, that was the suggestion. That's why I raised it. So this is all scheduled and everything else, but yeah, by that time you would know. And and I know there is a CCNSO, GNSO council lunch again on Monday, and maybe this is the topic that could be raised there. The answer doesn't need to be definite at the time, but it's something to consider by the JIG as well.
Right. Thank you for bringing that up. Yes, that is the current charter does have that as a natural close for the discussions here. I wonder if anyone wants to add to that discussion. It seems like, you know, some of the things that we're doing would continue through, even though even if the applicant guidebook or the new GTLD program is to be approved. Some of the items that we are talking about seems to continue to be relevant. So,
you don't have to have the discussion right now. I think it's if you put it on the agenda for Monday afternoon, I think it's fine. So people have time to think about it.
Thank you, Bart. Anyone want to add to that or any other thoughts, ideas, comments?
Zafri, it does seem like a good topic to Steve to stick as an upfront, just, you know, take a snapshot of where we are and what it affects in terms of that. I think there's great optimism in thinking we'll know Monday afternoon, but, hey, it's definitely worth having in there, even if it's only to update that we still don't know and we're still waiting for white smoke.
Sounds good. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a fine agenda, and if we just add, you know, the agenda, the requisite agenda bash that sort of says, hey, we can change the agenda later if circumstances require it, it's great.
Okay. So I guess with that, I'll send in really the few items that we just talked about. So people can prepare, and we might want to update the website a little bit if that's still possible. But I guess I'll work with Christina on that.
Sure.
Okay. All right. So the second item is the liaison observer for the VIP study teams. I think, Rafiq, you raised the issue. I originally had, and Avery, you responded to that. I originally had the idea of having sort of one person was going to suggest myself to oversee all of them as observers, but I think, Avery, if you're I think it might be good to if you're interested to be on one, and perhaps I guess generally open the discussion here. What others think, since, you know, both of you are here. I don't know, Rafiq, if you have anything you wanted to add to that, and what do you think about the suggestion, and Avery, if you wanted to add to.
Yeah, this is Avery. I don't know. I can add something quickly.
Please go ahead.
Is even looking at the schedule, when one sees three sets of parallel discussions, I just don't see how one person could do
yeah,
that.
I didn't realize that that was the general scheduling going forward as well. Perhaps since I wonder if Dennis is still on the call, if you are, is that going forward? Is that going to be the idea that you know things will pretty much? It's likely that a lot of times that it will go in parallel.
Well, we have six case study teams and very awkward timing. So the best we could do and with the best with the rooms we had available was to schedule them the way we have. So yes, I think at the ICANN public meetings there will be parallel sessions like that. And then each case study team will operate independently thereafter. But that doesn't mean there won't be clashes of scheduling.
Okay, so it is possible that there will be clash. So Avery, I guess adding to that point, it's probably a good idea to not have just one person. So.
Oh well, I would recommend that. I think that would be very helpful. One person could cover from moving from meeting to meeting, but that wouldn't necessarily provide enough information. So it's
okay.
Really up to the jig what you'd like to do, and just let us know.
Okay, I'm curious because in Dennis, in your email, you said a observer or an observer. I was wondering if it's possible to nominate two, so that if there could be alternate, or when cases where there are clashes, we could split up.
That, yes, absolutely. We'd have no difficulty with that. That was I hadn't spotted that myself, that I had said an observer implying singular. But if people want to be closer to each of the case studies, then obviously there should be more people involved. But it should
okay.
be only one person in each case study. We don't want six people moving from case study to case study.
Sure, understood.
Thanks.
So. I guess so far, I guess myself and Avery has put forward our names.
And I think Rafiq was putting himself forward too, wasn't he? It's Avery.
That was what I was going to ask. I wasn't sure whether Rafiq, you were just asking about it, or you were interested in being part of one of or more of the study teams.
So Rafiq here. In fact, in that day, I saw the announcement and I remember the email, so I wanted to ask how it's going there. But maybe if I can volunteer for the Arabic case study.
Okay.
Yep.
I guess it's only really the three of us at this point on this particular call. Is anyone else? I just want to make sure.
Adam, sorry. Can I add something?
Please.
Yes, it's Wei. About the observer, I have a question. The aim of Jake to put observer in each the IDN VIP is to try to coordinate the each single working groups their works with the JIG, and so that we don't doing the same work at the same time. But as I know, each working group has ICANN staff. Could they do the job? Because JIG has our we have our own target. We have our own works to do. So if each one take the VIP observer jobs, they might running around and distract their tensions from JIT work. That's just a thought.
Okay. Well, I guess a couple of things.
Dennis Jennings here. May I come in and just explain a little bit? This might be helpful. Each of the case study teams will have a private email list, but the archives will be available publicly. And there's a general VIP mailing list that people can join for discussion and for updates. The ICANN staff will be working with the case study coordinators to post periodic updates on the case study mailing list and on the general mailing list. So it will be possible to track without active participation. So it's entirely up to the JIG what you'd like to do.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Thank you, Dennis. Yeah, and I think last time you mentioned that as well. So yeah, I think we're aware. But in response to Wei, your thoughts, I think in terms of the JIG, I think in the last few meetings that we talked about this issue, I think there's a general interest to at least keep a keep a sort of a liaison between the discussions, and I think that will not only help our discussion, but it also at times could bring some of what we've discussed here into the discussion to the study teams as well. So I think, you know, it's generally a two-way thing, but as an observer, from what I understand, generally we won't be speaking or participating in the level that we would be in this group as we're talking about things, but really just observe, and if at any point there are items to be brought up, we will specifically bring it up. But so I think I don't think it would at least I don't seem to view that it would take away from some of the things that we are doing here, and the whole point of maintaining a somewhat parallel process is to try to get to the the end point sooner rather than later, and I think that continues to be the sort of overarching aim or idea for this sort of parallel discussion, and for the observer and liaison to exist.
This is okay.
Can I add?
Okay. So I guess so far I heard I see that Avery you would like to be on the Latin one. I don't know whether you would want to be on others as well. Rafiq, you mentioned that you'd be interested to be on the Arabic one as an observer. Avery, did you want to add?
I wanted to add something.
Please go ahead.
In terms of the observer, first of all, I am assuming that this is, in fact, I think I'm an observer in JIG at the moment. I think this is a normal ICANN-ish sort of observer where they're not just silent bumps on the wall, but they actually may contribute on occasion. Is that correct, Dennis?
Yes, formally we need the approval of the chair or the case study coordinator, but in practice, observers, as long as they don't dominate the meeting, will be happy. I think that the case study coordinator will be happy to have observers contribute fairly freely. But it's up to the case study coordinator.
Right, of course, and that's always the case in a group. So in terms of having JIG members participate and not just rely on the passive, and getting reports from staff, there really is at least somewhat of a two bidirectional thing. I think the other part is if we do decide to get into any work with the IETF and its case study explorations, I think we may want to have some participation in actually doing stuff. So I actually think it's good that, people who are active members, whether observers or real members, and I might be in trouble in JIG for overstepping observer status, if that's what I am, I don't even remember. Is it they be people that actually participate in this group, so they can bring things back in a very active and contentful manner. So I'm fine doing Latin. I think we can double up. I wasn't planning to volunteer for another one. I could, and the only other alphabet of the ones being talked there, since they're not doing Hebrew, that I have familiarity with is Greek. Not that I know any Greek.
Okay. Thank you, Avery. And I guess Dennis already quickly responded. I guess my question to Dennis is if we have myself for all the teams in terms of the mailing list, and Avery for Latin and Greek, and then also Rafiq for Arabic, would that be too much, or is that something I would? If you think it's okay, then I'll suggest to the list and see if the if there are any other problems.
Edmund,
with the list.
I think that's fine. I think that's fine.
Okay. Thank you, thank you, Dennis. So I guess for the time being, that's I'll suggest that to the list and see if we are okay with it. If so, I guess by the Monday, I guess we can confirm on the Monday meeting and going forward can at least for the time being set it up as such.
This is Avery. One last comment. Obviously, if there's someone who knows Greek, and you know, because I really think it's best if one person does one. It's just that I'm willing to cover another if need be, but...
I guess we'll send it around the list and see if anyone jumps up.
Edmund, Dennis here. Dennis Jennings here. The case study meetings are starting on Saturday, as you know. So if
mm-hmm.
you could let me have the names you're putting forward by Friday lunchtime or so on, so I can email the case study coordinators and advise them.
Okay. So I guess I'll suggest it to the list first, and unless we hear a lot of issues, then I'll have that passed to you on Friday, and we'll still cover it briefly on Monday. Just to, you know, so that there's a little bit more time for those who want to weigh in on the item.
Excellent.
Does that work?
That works. And Edmund, would you excuse me now? I think I need to go and pack.
All right.
Have a
safe travel. See you
Thank
in
you very
Portland.
Much indeed. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. So that is item number two. Item number three I had is the questions that Bart sent along. I guess probably not questions, but a suggested way forward from staff in terms of the single character ID and TLD implementation. Bart sent it around and I sent it again today. Bart, I wonder if you have any, anything you wanted to add or background. Because one of the things I'm not so sure is that you said you asked, they don't seem to be questions. Seems like they are, some way forward steps of, you know, moving forward on it.
Edmund, this is Bart. The only thing, say, in this sense, I haven't been involved in the substantial discussions of this item. This is part probably from the new GTLD implementation team. This came up, after the board Istanbul meeting, when Kurt raised these issues and say that the policy staff thought it would be very useful if the JIG got involved in these questions, issues for clarifications as well. I don't know, and I think this is probably more a procedural answer than anything else. I think it might be useful if those people who are involved in the implementation directly contact the JIG to sit down and to answer precisely those questions you have about the substance of the note.
Sure, but it seems like the note suggests a way forward of forming a staff implementation team, much like the IRTP. So, there are some items that were listed for that team to consider. So I wasn't sure what the JIG should respond to. That's the part I was a little bit confused about. Is this already put into action? Is this being presented to the board? Has already been put to action, and JIG is being sort of JIG should participate in that implementation team, or is this some sort of a draft or a proposal for forming that team and looking for some feedback from us at this point? That's the part I'm not quite sure.
I think as it is, say, my understanding, but this is just my understanding, this is an invitation to participate in say, a type of implementation team-like-ish situation. I don't know how this was done under the applicant guidebook, to the ITRP, I think you called it. That's too much focused on say the new GTLD process. But what I could do, and I think that's the best way forward, is that I get back again to Kurt and to maybe one or two others like Steve Shang, who have been involved, to ask what role they foresee for members of the JIG or the JIG itself, and how to move forward with this.
Okay, so I just want to get one thing clear: is that I want to make sure this is not waiting for us to respond in any fashion, because I wasn't sure from your note. It seems like we were supposed to respond or something, and then I read it, and you know, I wasn't sure.
On the other hand, maybe it's what we as policy staff ensured through this channeling it through the councils is that the JIG gets involved directly with the implementation staff. So it might be useful following up on that invitation that maybe even you directly get in touch with Kurt following this invitation.
I'm more than happy to do that.
Because then you got because the councils forwarded it to the JIG, so that in that essence you got the backing of both councils to get directly involved.
Right. Okay. So.
And that makes it easier, because if I get in between, say, you know more about the new GTLD implementation or applicant guidebook than I do.
No. Maybe Avery does even more so.
That's something else. But at least far more than I do.
So, I'm sorry, so, but so what should be the next steps? The next steps is you would connect with Kurt and that team and see.
I would if say I advise that you or the Jig, based on the email that I sent you, because that was both on the GNSO CNSO Council,
right?
That you refer to that email and say refer to the councils, get directly in touch with Kurt.
Okay.
And if you want to CC me, that's fine.
Okay. So I guess that's thank you for the suggestion. It seems to make sense. I guess myself and Jane will put a step forward and say, you know, and proactively reach out to
yeah.
Kurt and sort of with respond to that and see if we can even maybe meet up in Singapore.
Yeah. Because that follows from getting the councils involved, and they've mandated you to step up.
To continue, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So, anything? Anyone else? Whether the substance of the document or the suggested process. No one? Okay. So hearing none, I guess we'll get back to the councils and suggest the way forward. So, and then, well, given that there's no objection or you know, some...
Well, Kurt or Edmund, I think you don't need to go back to the councils, just copy them in. This is because they asked you to do it.
Right.
So going back is creating another loop.
Right. You're right. So I'll just move right ahead to connect with Kurt directly and keep everyone on the loop.
Copy them in, and then it's fine.
Right. Sounds good. Okay. And I'll keep everyone. I'll keep this group of the Jig list in the loop as well, so everyone. And see it moving forward. So that brings me to. Sorry, my computer hanged.
The note I sent.
Yes. So the last item, the note that Avery sent around. I had a quick look. Perhaps Avery, you, if you want to briefly. Talk about it, and we'll go into talking about what the next steps should be from this group.
Sure. By the way, I went and looked, and I am just an observer, so I apologize if I contribute talk too much. Also, just looking at our group members, it seems like we should have lots of character sets, or at least a bunch of them, covered inside the group. So, okay, to the note I sent. I basically read through it again, and I think this is very similar to what I said before I wrote the note. It just the note was sort of trying to be somewhat more coherent than I am when I just talk. So the various points in it, I think each of these points could lead to an activity if the group desired. The first one was basically, I don't know to what extent people understand that at the moment there is no technical solution, no pure, simple, if everybody just adopted this protocol or this, you know, method of working or this new, you know, feature, it would work. That solution doesn't exist yet. And so I think that's a very important part of framing that. And, you know, I knew it going into reading the draft again, probably from reading earlier drafts and such, but it always kind of hits me strongly that we're talking about policy in an area where there isn't a set of solutions. Normally when we're doing the policy work, we're looking, then there's maybe technical solution A, B, and C, and various ways of going about it. And we're using policy as a method to pick which one meets the real needs of you know, users, registrants, and everyone else. So that just was an important thing. Then it talks about, though, the way that there are administrative methods that registries have for dealing with the problem. I don't consider myself the least knowledgeable person, though there's a lot about what goes on inside registries and registrars that I do not know and do not understand. And I think that's probably true for a lot of us. So perhaps somebody actually giving a coherent description of what it is that's done, how it is that the problem is solvable, is that solution scalable? Are the people that are doing it now, you know, I guess it's in various, you know, Chinese and perhaps Korean, I don't know, characters and such, do they have a solution that's working for them and is scalable and is something that's shareable so that other people can understand it? Then the next point, point three, was about the weakest part of that draft is the case studies discussion. Now, that all fits in with the work that ICANN is embarking on and that we're getting involved in, at least as observers. So my point in this one is that document really needs the case studies section strengthened, and I don't think the document should be published before then, and that's not me speaking as an observer in JIG, but me speaking as an IETF participant. I look at that and say, it's not ready yet. And so that's something that I would certainly flag in that environment, and I'm suggesting it here, too. Okay, yes. The fourth point is perhaps somewhat esoteric, is that remembering when working with the IETF that there's a different view of what a domain name is. In one, it's a character legible string of characters, and in another, it's a name. It has a meaning. It has marks associated with it. It's got political sensitivities associated with it. It's got all of that baggage that a name or a word has, whereas in an IETF context, and it's the way I always describe it, is the fact that it's a word is a happy coincidence, but what counts is that it's a readable set of strings and not digits. Okay, the other point is that there are complexities in that some of the solutions that may have worked or may have been close to working, when put in the same environment with DNSSEC and its requirements on keeping keys and keeping track of stuff, it gets hard. So that's complication. I don't know that those are solvable. I'm not even sure that I fully understand them because my knowledge on DNSSEC is relatively shallow. You know, I understand the buzzwords and the top part of it, but I do not understand the mechanism, you know, beyond protocol exchanges. Okay, yes, the seventh point was that, you know, anything that does get deployed, I mean, it goes to that discussion item we have, you know, on the meeting about the universal acceptance of IDN. That means people got to put in, even once there's a method, people have to do the work to deploy that. And you know, so even when there is a solution that could take a couple years to figure out, if one can indeed be figured out, and then how long does it take to get deployed? So that's, again, something we have to have an awareness of in coming up with policies. And that's about it, other than the part I said at the end there about I don't think it's ready as an informational RFC until the case study stuff is stronger. I don't think they need the full-level case study that ICANN needs because it's thinking policy, not technology. But I think the first part of the case study where they describe the situation in some sense, and of course I don't know how that's going to work yet, might actually be useful content. So they may not have to wait for the end of the ICANN process, where, you know, there's a lot of work that gets done up front. Things get pretty much set in terms of what they look like, and then most projects have incredibly long tails while everybody's dotting I's, crossing T's, and nailing down the bits of political variance on issues. So, you know, I think they might be able to take the contribution they need from the first part of the project, but I think they need that content. That's about it.
Thank you, Avery, and thank you very much, actually. And I think a very quick takeaway in terms of action forward, it seems like what you are pointing towards is that we should communicate with the group, the DNS EXT working group, and say these kind of things that, you know, wait a little bit. I don't have to wait for the whole thing, but there are some valuable input that we could provide to you, and that you know, without which we don't think it's ready. That's sort of the general direction that you're suggesting, right? And then I have a few more questions and observations, but I just want to clarify that.
Yeah, I think that would be. This is Avery again. I think that would be a useful thing for us to say is that, you know, yeah.
Okay. So I have a few observations and questions, but I'd like to ask if Rafiq or Wei or anyone else on the call have any questions of clarifications or comments or thoughts first. Hearing none, I'll get it started anyway. So, again, thank you, Avery, for summarizing everything. But I think first of all, I think it's really important to probably distinguish between aliasing and a variant, IDN variant. What I mean is that there could be cases where there are IDN variants to be aliased, but there could be also cases where there are IDN variants that should not be aliased, or, you know, depending on the linguistic policies. And that brings me to the second item, which, Avery, you mentioned in terms of the string, semantic meaning versus just a string of code points. And that has a lot of relevance there, because I think when we talk about an IDN variant in what we're talking about here as ICANN and some of the policy discussion, that is the semantic part is certainly an important consideration, semantic and linguistic, all the baggage that comes with that. But in terms of ultimately the ITF side, while the requirements may or should have this in the background, perhaps an alias sort of a technology or a protocol, it is probably right to look at it in a sense of code points, and, you know, a string of code points. And really, what we're talking about in the technical level is, you know, two domain strings that would be sort of aliased together and made consistent through the tree. That being a requirement, but that doesn't mean that all IDN variants would be handled that way. It's just that it is potentially one of the ways to handle it. And if the IDN language policies for that particular language or script dictates that is the thing to do, then that could be used. That technology can be used, and that brings me to the final part where you said you didn't quite understand the administrative sort of solution. I guess that's interesting, because I at least from the point of view of Chinese, for example, I think an administrative process would handle most of the situations, because most of the situations may not or does not necessarily call for a fully aliased through the tree kind of implementation. So that's, you know, probably made it really complex for anyone to understand. But that's sort of my thoughts in response to the few points that Avery you mentioned. And I think I definitely think that, and agree with Avery you that we should sort of draft something together towards that direction that you suggested.
This is Avery. I actually think I understood. I don't think we have enough time at this point to get in discussion, but I think some of these things are good discussion, because I never had the concept before of some things might be aliased, but perhaps in a limited sense, and you don't actually need to alias the whole tree and such. And so I think there's a lot more to be explored there, but obviously, or at least for me to understand, you know, the full point you're making. But I don't see us having time now.
Right. Well, we have a few more minutes, but I think the in looking at the document and stuff, I think we should definitely get back to Suzanne and Andrew and say, yes, we think there's something we can offer over here, and ask them not to rush to conclusion there. And I think as you mentioned, that the case studies are a good input material for it. So ask them to wait for a little while. And I also, agree with you that, they don't have to wait for all of them. And especially, I do believe that once we clarify, at least in my mind, I think it's most important to clarify that there are IDN variant policies and alias, technology, and they don't have to be, they're not equivalent in a way. I don't know what word to use. They're not congruent, I guess. Probably the word. They're not congruent. They have a relationship, and sometimes they are, they are the same. But there are, and when you talk about the semantic meaning or the linguistic aspect of strings versus the code point string of code point thing, that might really be the crux of the issue. And I think perhaps, at least at this point, my view is that on the IETF side, the focus, as you mentioned, and that's really what they are interested in anyway, is to focus on once the policies identify two strings to be aliased as IDN variants, what can be done technically in terms of protocol. That might be the crystallization of the requirement or the issue that we'd like them to look into. But that's just my quick response at this time after looking at the document and your thoughts, Avery. I don't know if you want to add to that or anyone else. Hearing none, well, maybe we had everyone fully confused by now. But anyway, I think we're making some headway. So I guess with that, I'd like to suggest, and I'll put this to the mailing list as well. I'd like to suggest that perhaps I guess myself and Jane will sort of take this particular discussion and send it over to Suzanne and Andrew and say, we would this is sort of our initial thinking, and we'll spend a little bit of time in the next few meetings, including our face-to-face meeting, to talk about to start to work together a sort of I guess wordings, a set of what we think and respond as a group in hopefully the next I would guess a month or two. Does that make sense? Am I still on?
Yeah, you're still on.
Okay.
I'm getting ready.
Good as heck. All right. So, so I guess we're pretty much at the top of the hour now. Anyway, so I think most would need to move to the next call. So with that, I just recap. I'll send a few things out. One is the an email to Suzanne and Andrew on the ITF stuff, and the other is to Kurt on the single character IDNTLD implementation. And thirdly, the people who the were putting as observers or suggesting as observers on the VIP team. And fourthly, the agenda for our face-to-face meeting next Monday. Okay. With that, anyone else have any items they want to bring up?
Happy travels to everyone.
All right. Safe travels, everyone. Thank you for joining.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye. See everyone in Singapore.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you very much. That's all for today.
Bye, Christina.
Bye.